the Lord help us to commence with hymn 915. Why, O my soul, art thou dismayed? Why in these tents of sorrow grown? From what have thy fond hopes been stayed? Still seeking rest, but finding none. Hymn 915.
Word of God. Let us read this evening in the book of Proverbs, and reading chapter 30. The book of Proverbs, chapter 30. The words of Agur, the son of Jakar, even the prophecy. The man spake unto Ithiel, even unto Ithiel and Ucal. Surely I am more brutish than any man, and have not the understanding of a man. I neither learned wisdom, nor have the knowledge of the holy. Who hath ascended up into heaven, or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fists? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee, and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal, and take the name of my God in vain. Accuse not a servant unto his master, lest he curse thee, and thou be found guilty. There is a generation that curseth their father, and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth, and the needy from among men. The horse leech hath two daughters, crying, give, give. There are three things that are never satisfied. Yea, four things that say not, it is enough. The grave, and the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and the fire that saith not, it is enough. The eye that mocketh at his father, and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. There be three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent upon a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid. Such is the way of an adulterous woman, she eateth, and wipeth her mouth, and saith, I have done no wickedness. For three things the earth is disquieted, and for four which it cannot bear. For a servant when he reigneth, and a fool when he is filled with meat. For an odious woman when she is married, and a handmaid that is heir to her mistress. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth all of them by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands, as is in king's palaces. There be three things which go well, yea, four are comely in going. A lion, which is strongest among beasts, and turneth not away for any. A greyhound, an he-goat also, and a king, against whom there is no rising up. If thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself, or if thou hast thought evil, lay thine hand upon thy mouth. Surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter, and the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood. So the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife. May the Lord bless unto us the reading of his holy and sacred word, and help us now to pray. Most holy and most gracious God, we are gathered together here, Lord, this night, in this place, in thy name. And we plead with thee, Lord, for thy presence to be with us, known and felt in each of our hearts, separated for a moment of time from all that would hinder us in our daily lives and in those innermost thoughts of our minds. Lord, come and rule in our hearts by thy Spirit. And draw us, Lord, by faith to look upon Jesus. And so, Lord, it will not be that we are empty sent away. If we are unable to behold a precious Christ, for sinners slain, and even to know it was for me that he hung and suffered there. Lord, may we know those sweet moments, rich in blessing, which before thy cross are spent. Lord, we would bring before thee the one who was engaged to be here this night. But Lord, thou hast seen fit in thy sovereign will and purpose to lay him aside in a measure of sickness and ill health. And Lord, we pray thou wilt give wisdom to the medical authorities to find the cause of his sickness. And Lord, may he be in thy hand, the medical profession in thy hands. And Lord, we pray thou wilt restore him again to health and strength. And sanctify, Lord, these concerning times to the good of his soul. Lord, do restore him again to fulfil those engagements he has made in thy fear. And still, Lord, speak through him. Lord, the precious gospel of Jesus Christ. And thy word through him not to return to thee void, but to accomplish that which thou doth please and prosper. Prosper it in the thing to which thou doth send. And Lord, we pray for others thou hast sent to labour in the ministry of the gospel, who through bodily weakness and old age cannot continue as they once did. Lord, we commend them to thee. And pray, Lord, that the word that they have preached faithfully in thy name now be made a blessing unto their own soul. It will return to them, Lord, in sweetness and in power and in much assurance. O Lord, we need the outpouring of thy Spirit in this evil day to bless thy word amongst those that hear it. For man's voice and man's oratory, Lord, can do our souls no good. Nor it only in the power of thy Spirit that prepares the heart and gives all needed faith to take hold of that word and faithfully believe and through faith to understand. O Lord, give us each the understanding of the love of Christ for sinners. Lord, give us the faith to understand the depth and the power of that redeeming love. And Lord, give us the faith to understand, to believe, and to embrace it within our own heart. The rock of our salvation, our hope of eternal life. Lord, do bless the preached word in this dark, evil, ungodly day. Bless it, Lord, to the young, to the children, to the young people, Lord, to the middle aged, to the elderly, Lord, each of us, no matter what our age. May we hear thy voice, speaking through thine own word in the means, Lord, thou hast ordained. And we pray, Lord, thou wilt send others, labourers, into thy harvest. For the harvest truly is great, the labourers are few. We thank thee, Lord, where thou hast constrained one and another to go forth to declare what they have been taught, experienced, known and felt of the precious truth as it is in Jesus. Lord, do help and undertake for them. Lord, whether newly in the pathway or long established in those labours, Lord, each time they need thy help, they need thy presence. Lord, do not leave them or forsake. And Lord, do strengthen and bring to fruition the exercise where thou hast begun in others. Lord, thou knowest the rebellious heart, the unwillingness of earthly nature to do thy will. But do make willing in the day of thy power. Lord, we live in a day when we cry, "Help, Lord. For the godly man ceaseth, or the faithful fail from among the children of men. Lord, those that thou hast taken, we pray, Lord, thou wilt replace. Not just a like for like, but Lord, a godly gracious increase. That there be many more given to stand in the stead of those whom thou hast taken to be with thee in glory. And Lord, to stand in the stead of those who now, through weakness and ill health and old age, cannot perform those labours as they once did. Lord, as thou didst take Elijah, thou didst give an Elisha, and gave a double portion of the Spirit. Lord, so it may be here. Lord, thou wilt grant here one and another has engaged to come in thy Spirit to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. And Lord, if it is thy will, raise up from amongst them one and another who shall proclaim those unsearchable riches. And Lord, do hear the cries regarding a settled ministry. Is there not an exercise, Lord, thou knowest? And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt hear the spirit of prayer. Pour out thy spirit from on high and give direction in the exercise unto the one who is to be constrained. Lord, thou knowest these things. I do not know, but thou knowest. And we pray, Lord, thou hear the pleas of faith that cry unto thee in these evil days. We commend to thee, Lord, the church and congregation here, that thou wilt not leave their souls untouched. Thou wilt not leave them, Lord, unfed. Feed them with the bread of heaven. Give them again and again those portions which they can take away like Ruth's portion. Those things which are gleaned in thy house as profit to the soul. Even those handfuls of purpose. Lord, may there be showers of blessing. And many times, Lord, going away, it is said it has been good that we've been up to the house of the Lord. He bless me there. Lord, we commend ourselves to thee tonight. Without thee, Lord, we can do nothing. O Lord, do apply thy word. And may the words of these lips and the meditation of our hearts be found acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Lord, do remember the children and young people. We pray thy blessing be upon each one of them. Lead and guide them, Lord, through the difficult pathways of life upon this sin-cursed earth. Lord, do rule their heart. Help them to be much in prayer. And may they know thy goodness going before them in the world. At home, in education, Lord, do abide with them. Lord, Satan hath entered in to the educational field. And there's much that is taught contrary to thy word. Lord, thy truth is dishonored and ungodliness is upheld. O Lord, do give the children wisdom to know that which is right and that which is wrong. And help parents, Lord, in instructing them in the way of truth. And as they come to thy house and to the Sunday school, Lord, may they find there some precious teaching of the way that is in Jesus, the everlasting way, the way, Lord, which is their peace, their hope, yea, their eternal life. Likewise, the young people, Lord, in their higher education and occupation, Lord, who go before them at all times, through the changing scenes of life, the added responsibilities and duties, standing alone, separate from parents, for they now stand, as we say, as adults. Lord, we've asked thy blessing upon them. Remember those who are married. Grant thy presence with them at all times. Grant that threefold cord of love. Love to each other and love to thee, which can never be broken. And, O Lord, where there is children given, Lord, do give them wisdom, understanding, patience, perseverance in that solemn responsibility of bringing up their children which thou hast given them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. O Lord, through the coming generations may they be a continuation of the attendance upon thy house and additions to thy visible church. Lord, may there be those appointed to bear office, whether as deacons or ministers, pastors, the mothers in Israel. O Lord, do supply and grant those faithful ones amongst the churches. And Lord, deliver us from the power of evil, which has entered into our parliament and so many institutions of power, authority and the judiciary. Lord, we fear what may come upon us, for we are weak in the flesh. But our eyes are up unto thee, Lord, from whence cometh our help. We pray for our government, that thou wilt give it wisdom, understanding, right knowledge, in the fear of the Lord. Direct them, Lord, into those things which they should do, and keep them from those decisions and practices which they should not do. Lord, only thou canst rule such hearts and minds. Lord, if thou couldst rule the heart and mind of sinners such as this one, Lord, thou canst rule their hearts and direct them in the way they should go to the honour and glory of thy name, committing all their troubles and difficulties and matters to thee in prayer. And, O Lord, could it be thy will return our nation again to a nation whose God is the Lord. Keep our monarch as a defender of the faith. Maintain our Protestant liberty. Lord, maintain them for our children, the children's children, and the generations to come after that, as long as time remains. Lord, do hear us. Hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. When thou hearest, do forgive. Lord, forgive our many sins. O, blot out all of our transgressions. Love us free. We ask these things in the name of Jesus and for his sake alone. Lord, we would commend to thee those unable to be here tonight. For whatever the reason, thou knowest. Thou knowest where they are and the circumstances of their lives. Be gracious and merciful toward them, that they know thy presence with them. We ask these things for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 6. God's ways are just, his counsels wise. No darkness can prevent his eyes. No thought can fly, nor thing can move, unknown to him that sits above. Hymn number 6.
Complete dependence upon our Lord to open up to us the truth of his holy and gracious word. I'd ask your prayerful attention to a verse we find in the book of the Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, and verse 13. The book of the Ecclesiastes, chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. The 13th verse of the book of the Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. These are the words of King Solomon, to whom God gave great wisdom and understanding. And this was his conclusion, having considered many matters. We perhaps don't speak very much of duty, in the fear that it may apply the covenant of work, as opposed to the covenant of God's grace. But dear friends, this word duty here has been put in italics, added to make in the English language a more flowing of the sentence. Beginning of this sentence is, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. There is then this wonderful statement, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty. This word whole, complete, the conclusion of the complete matter. This is the complete duty. And dear friends, where that word duty occurs in other parts of the scripture, it's exactly the same word in the Hebrew as the word matter. The matter what's found here. When Solomon set up the priests and the Levites, they were to do the duty as each day required. The requirements, the vital necessity. It so was in Ezra's day, when they set about again doing the establishing the feasts and the sacrifices and the worship of God, the duty as each day required, the necessity. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole necessity of man. The whole necessity, not just part necessity. If we look at duty in a legal sense, dear friends, that's not the whole of the necessity. Our text contains two things: the fear of God and obedience to his word. And you cannot separate those two. Oh, how vital these things are, and how searching they are to our own hearts. How is it with us? Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. What is this matter, this whole matter that Solomon has been considering. Well, if we study the Word of God as we should in our private devotions, we find, dear friends, as we look through Ecclesiastes, that Solomon communed with his own heart. I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under the heaven. And Solomon sought to consider all things done under the heaven. He said, I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom. I made me great works, I builded me houses, I planted me vineyards, gardens, orchards, trees, pools of water. He had servants, maidens, great possessions, cattle, above all that were in Jerusalem before me, silver, gold, the peculiar treasures of kings, men singers, women singers, musical instruments, so on. And so I was great. So I was great. And increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. And what was his conclusion? This is vanity. Vanity of vanities, he begins, doesn't he? All is vanity. Well, that was the conclusion he brought concerning our earthly being and our earthly life. And our earthly deeds. Because no matter what we did, no matter what height and level and glory we exalted ourselves to, or no matter what low estate we abode in, there is one place that awaits us all. And that is the grave. And none of us can escape. It's before us each tonight. We know not when. This is vanity and vexation of spirit. Oh, dear friends, let us never forget what is before us. Our hearts are deceitful, aren't they? They're desperately wicked. They cause us to live to the glory of this life. Seeking more and more and more of the benefits of this earthly life, which are good for our body. And dear friend, Solomon says concerning the things of our body, there's nothing better than for a man to do good in this life. Yea, to eat and drink, and enjoy the good of all his labour. It is the gift of God. God has given us many things upon this earth for our life, for our existence, for our continuation. And we should ever give thanks, as we do at this time, for another harvest, his faithfulness, even though we deserve not one of the least of his mercies. But dear friends, it doesn't deliver us, does it, from the hand and the article of death? There is one place to which we all go. And even if we have obeyed to our utmost ability every commandment of God, there will be no hope of eternal life, because we are yet as an unclean thing. And our righteousnesses, that's those good things, all which are so vital and necessary for our peace, one amongst another upon this earth, let us not neglect them. They cannot take us to glory in the eyes of a holy God. They are but as filthy rags, because sin is mixed with all we do. Dear friends, this is our solemn state by nature, isn't it? Oh, may the Lord rule our hearts and give us wisdom. The wisdom given unto Solomon brought him to this conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man, the whole necessity of man, the whole matter concerning man, if there is to be a hope of eternal life. Or what is this fear of God? Well, dear friends, I read that portion in Proverbs of the words of Agur, the son of Jacob. He considered, didn't he, many things upon this earth as he looked around him. He saw many adverse, terrible things. He spoke of generation that curseth father and did not bless mother. Oh, don't we read in the end of the word of God in the last days, children disobedient to parents, having no honour or true regard for those for whom they belong, or their heart full of disobedience. He saw with his own eyes those who were righteous in their own eyes, pure in their own eyes, full of self-righteousness, perhaps in their religious ways, not washed from their filthiness. Generation so proud, lofty are their eyes, their eyelids are lifted up. And a generation whose teeth are as swords, oh, only trying to devour one another. Dear friends, our pride and being lifted up are full of self. We'll try to get the better of one another. Isn't that the nature of this world? Desiring to get greatness at the expense of another, others who you most willingly cast aside, make ashamed, get the power over. Let us not just look at the presidents and the rulers of the kingdoms and the governments and the various things. Look in our own lives, in our own hearts, how we deal one with another. We cannot excuse ourselves from sins like this, can we? Perhaps much of the time we are kept from it in an outward form. But God looketh upon the heart, remember that. God looketh upon the heart. And that thing which cometh out of the heart, those evil thoughts, they don't have to be made manifest outwardly. Those evil thoughts defile the man. Oh, there's greed, he speaks of the horse leash. Have two daughters, give, give. The insatiable desire of the heart, ever wanting. And he considers the grave. Considers the grave. It's never full. The earth is never full. Every man born of Adam's race dies, perishes. The barren womb, ever wanting children. The earth is not filled with water, ever absorbing it. And the fire, oh, that has to be fed continually for it to maintain itself. Isn't that the desire of your heart? Ever wanting greed, covetousness, to give it a measure of earthly satisfaction. Are we ever truly satisfied? Oh, they are never satisfied. And so we may go on. Oh, he speaks of those who are exalted above what they ought to be. An odious woman married, a handmaid whose heir to her mistress, a servant when he reigneth, a fool filled with meat, and so forth. Dear friends, he observes many, many things upon this earth which are not right. He also observes many things which he does not fully understand. Glorious things. He spoke, didn't he, of the ways, the little things. The ants, the conies, the locust, the spider. Yet although they're weak, feeble, of almost non-significant, they continue. Oh, what wisdom they have. And the going forth of the strength of the lion is not turned about by any fear. The greyhound or the horse, as it says in the margin. Oh, the speed that can go, the he-goat on the mountain jumping of men, what no other beast can, and a king against there's no opposition, no rising. He observes all these things upon this earth. And dear friends, no doubt you observe many things, and I observe many things. And perhaps we have our thoughts concerning them. But what was the conclusion of Agur? He says, I am more brutish than any man. I'm a chief sinner. I have not the understanding of a man. Oh, all these things he could not understand. Why they were maintained, why they carried on, why they were permitted to be, how they combined one with another. Because he could not understand God. I neither learned wisdom nor have the knowledge of the holy. Dear friends, he was nothing. Who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his... To whom can you liken God? To whom can understand God? Or even his Son? And what is his Son's name, if thou canst tell? Dear friends, can our hearts by nature find out God? Agur knew this for himself. He was a hopeless sinner, helpless, bound by the things of this earth. But dear friends, he knew this, he knew this. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Dear friends, what taught Agur that? What put Agur in this, such a frame as that? Dear friends, that was the teaching of the Spirit. He required of the Lord these things. That the Lord would remove far from him vanity and lies. The things that were of no consequence, no good, of any hope of eternal life concerning himself in the bodily sense. Remove his hope from all the things and achievements and doings of this life. Oh, if he should have his hope in the things of this life, then he had a bed of lies lying on, covering himself with lies, and that would never do. But what about his experience in this life? Give me neither poverty nor riches. He did not want abundance. And he didn't want a lack. Why was that? He gives the reason. If he had an abundance and was rich in all the things of achievements, he feared lest he would deny the Lord. And say, who is the Lord? Who is he? What need have I of him? I've got all the things I need of in this life. I have all the material benefits. I can pay my way out of all troubles. Oh, we think of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Who is the Lord? What a rich king he was. What power he had. Who is the Lord that I should obey him? In him there was no fear of God, was there? His heart was hardened. but not this Hagar. Lest I be fool and deny thee. I have no need of a Lord. I have no need of God. I have a sufficiency in myself. Oh, what a solemn state to be in. Dear friends, that Laodicean church came there, didn't it? They were rich and in need of nothing. And dear friends, if you're in need of nothing, there's no prayer. Prayer was appointed to convey the blessings God designs to give. And the last line of that first verse of that hymn says, only while they pray they live, dependent upon the Lord. Oh, he feared. And he feared lest if he was in poverty, he would steal and take the name of the Lord his God in vain. The temptation would be too great for him to take that which belongs to another. He would be full of covetousness. He would, his flesh would be weak. He knew the weakness of his flesh. That he would not be constrained from doing that which was contrary to the word of God. He wanted the Lord to supply his need, that there would be a sufficiency, and that he would know the Lord had supplied his need, and he would be kept. Kept in the way of the Lord, kept dependent upon him. Dear friends, that's the fear of the Lord. That's the fear of the Lord. He feared lest if he should move away from that position, he would be a castaway. You see, dear friends, it's like this. He trembled at the word of God. Every word is pure. He said, add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee and thou be found a liar. He feared, lest he should contravene in his walk the word of God by even adding to it. Oh, the word of God is very solemn in Revelation, isn't it, concerning those who add to the prophecy of the book, or even take away. All the plagues of that book would be brought upon them, the plague of solemn death, the second death. Dear friends, I believe Hagar trembled at the word of God. You have a wonderful word, don't we, concerning those who tremble at the word of God. The Lord says, to this man will I look. To him that is poor. Hagar was poor. Of a contrite spirit, Hagar was. A brutish man. Brutish more than any. And trembleth at my word, Hagar did. Now the Lord said, to this man will I look. He's mine. As the ruling of my spirit has been imparted unto him. And dear friends, those who tremble at the word of God, because of what they are by nature, nothing. They're sinners. Less than nothing. And they fear lest they should depart from the word of God. They know they need a Saviour. They know they need one to blot out all their transgressions. They know they need one to keep them. Keep them. Oh, from that solemn hour and article of death, eternal death, in the judgment day. Dear friends, these that fear God, they believe in the word of God. That's why they tremble at the word of God. Oh, they see all these dreadful things that come upon the people for their sin. They believe the word of God. Now, what causes them to believe the word of God? Faith. The blessed grace of the Spirit. By faith we believe. It is the gift of God. And through faith we understand. And Hagar, and all those that fear God understand. They need a precious Saviour. They need one to forgive them all their sin. They need one to love them freely. Of course, they've got nothing to pay. But he brings them to this spot, as the hymn writer put. Nothing, nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. That's the fear of the Lord. That's the conclusion, isn't it? What Solomon comes to here. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Fear God. Dear friends, that's one of the greatest blessings you can I can ever have. It's the indwelling of the Spirit of God. It's an evidence that we are His. It's the beginning of wisdom. Not earthly wisdom. We can have much earthly wisdom without the fear of God. But it's that wisdom, that knowledge which makes us wise unto salvation. It values a precious Jesus, the work that he has fulfilled on Calvary's cross. It stands amazed that he could come from the heights of glory to this sin-cursed earth, to bear the sins of many, even one's own sin. And dear friends, that doesn't exalt the sinner, does it? It humbles the sinner. An evidence of the fear of God is humility. Why me? Why me? Why such a wretch as me, who would forever lie in hell, were not salvation free? And dear friends, this is the foundation of practical godliness. Practical godliness can be founded on nothing else than on the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, who gave his life a sacrifice for your sin. It's the new birth that comes. Fear of God comes with this new birth, being born of the Spirit, born of God. And we know and we value our treasure, it is above. The things of this earth grow strangely dim in the light of this glory and grace. Dear friends, this is the way of salvation. Now here's practical godliness, dear friends, based upon this fear of God. It's in Micah, isn't it? He hath showed thee, O man, that which is good. His own grace, his own glory, his own redeeming love revealed unto your heart by the Holy Ghost. What doth he require of thee? The witness, the evidence of this love within, manifest by the Holy Ghost. But to do justly, love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. And dear friends, those who fear God, that's exactly what they desire to do. But dear friends, they never get beyond the fear of God, because they know their own earthly heart still. Oh, what a battleground there is now within. Their own will against the Lord's will. Their own spirit against the Lord's spirit. Their own desire against the will of God. How can they completely obey and keep the commandments of God? Well, dear friends, you won't. Not entirely. But your heart will desire to do it, won't it? You'll ever be a needy, guilty sinner. You'll ever need the cleansing of that precious blood. Because sin is a transgression of the law. And we do not keep to that law as we should. Not whilst we're in the flesh. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing, O wretched man that I am, saith Paul. There's the confession of those that fear God. And Paul had to fight, strive daily against his own flesh. He says so. Keeping his flesh under, lest he, having preached the gospel, should at the end be a castaway, unfit, unprofitable. A striving. Now, dear friends, those that fear God strive to make their calling and election sure. They strive to keep themselves in the love of God. And that striving, dear friends, brings them again and again to the mercy seat. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, they fear, lest through their iniquity and sin, which seems to only increase in them, the knowledge of it increases. Because they've got such now a tender heart. They fear God. They possess that love and they love him. And dear friends, the things of sin, they're now a greater burden upon the heart than they ever were before. Now this is the way the people of God walk. This is their experience. They strive to keep themselves in that love of God. They strive to keep to his word and to his will. And when they find, dear friends, their faults and their failings, oh, they strive to come humbly to the throne of grace. And dear friends, when there's the commandment of God in a sovereign way, because his will is concerning you, or we have those whom he called and he had a specific appointment for them, a specific pathway they should walk. They didn't desire it in the flesh. How they have to humble themselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt them in due time. This is it, that humble walk. Walk humbly with thy God, submissive to his will. There's the keeping of those that fear God. And they need the Lord's help. Casting all their care upon him. For he careth for you. He careth for you. And he will never leave you nor forsake you. For he that gave, spared not his only son, but gave him up for you. For us all, says Paul to the Romans, how much more shall he freely with him give you all things, the supply of all your need, help in the time of trouble, strength in the time of weakness. Where does that come from? Lord, increase my faith. Increase my faith. Dear friends, those are the ones who put their trust in the Lord. They put their trust in the Lord. And what did Agur say? He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. He is a shield. He won't let the power of evil have the authority and power over them again. Oh, there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, after the Spirit. Now, dear friends, that's what Solomon concludes here. The conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. Walking after the Spirit. We love him because he first loved us. And if we love him, keep my commandments, says Jesus. For this is the whole duty of man. He is the whole substance of the profit of man. It's found in the fear of the Lord and obedience to his word. Oh, for a closer walk with God, the hymn writer said, didn't he? A calm and a heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. You say, oh, but I come so far short. my doings, my outward walk is not as it should be. I'm like the psalmist, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. You know that Psalm 119 is a wonderful psalm, isn't it? Oh, the desire of that psalmist, he says, confesses the word of God to quicken them. He expresses completely through it the fear of the Lord. He speaks the word upon which the Lord has caused me to hope. He speaks of the blessing of God and his love for the commandments, the precepts, the statutes, the testimonies, the commandments, the word. He ends the psalm, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. In fact, that's what those who fear God confess. But what a mercy. God looketh upon the heart. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are but dust. He knows those desires of your heart. He knows the working there, dear friends, of his Spirit, which he has placed there. And he knows your tears. Your tears at the faults and the failings that you have. He knows your grief, he knows your sorrow. And dear friends, those heartfelt cries perhaps cannot even be uttered because of the sinfulness you still feel. He heals the broken heart, he heals it. He giveth more grace. Oh, that's a lovely word, isn't it? He giveth more grace. And dear friends, that broken heart, it's healed, it's mended, it's restored. Enabled to feel again, know again, in measure that love of Christ. And so you grow in grace and the knowledge of his love through his mercy upon you. You know, there's one thing Solomon concluded, well, before he concluded, he mentions in this lovely word, this book. It struck me much this year. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. A solemn distinction there, dear friends, between the sinner and the wicked. We're all sinners in God's sight. All born of Adam's race, we're all born in sin, shapen in iniquity, but here's a great distinction between the sinner and the wicked. A sinner who fears God is a sinner saved by grace. The one whose desire is to be one with Jesus. Oh yes, he's a sinner upon this earth. But his hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Oh, but the wicked, the hard-hearted, no tender fear. God is not in all his thoughts. Oh, how solemn that end. Now, dear friends, which are you tonight? There's a great distinction between those, isn't there? A sinner and a sinner. But a sinner with a fear of God. And a sinner with no fear of God. Going their own ways. Content with their own pathway. Striving to do best for their own selves. No real thought of eternity. Oh, but let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Dear friends, our lives will be made up in a physical sense, with many things that can be declared to be good in accordance with the will of God. That which is right in his sight was many kings who did that which was right in the sight of God. But as I said toward the beginning, we shall be declared in his sight as an unclean thing. But those that fear God, those who have been called out of nature's darkness into his most marvellous light, those, dear friends, who know exactly what they are, the Lord Jesus says, I've put away thy judgments. Thou shalt not see evil anymore. Oh, what a word in that last day, in the day of judgment, to those who were judged in Christ Jesus, who had paid the price for all those sins, all those iniquities. They shall be remembered no more. Oh, there's no spot in thee. Thou art all fair, my love. The work of Christ. Those that fear him, it shall be well with them, and they shall rest in his love. Dear friends, they hope and live and trust in his love now. In glory they will rest in it, and nothing to disturb their peace. To be with God, which is far better, one with Jesus, satisfied when they awake in his light. Oh, to be judged through Christ. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. We are complete in him. Without that fear and that love to God, desiring to do that which is right in his sight. Dear friends, we are not complete. We are far short. But our completeness is what Christ hath done and made manifest in your heart. The love of God shed abroad by the Holy Ghost. Therefore fear God and keep his commandments. That is the whole duty of man. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Chapman will preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Jempson on Friday evening next week. Let us close with part of hymn number 130, singing the first four verses. Christ is the eternal rock on which his church is built, the shepherd of his little flock, the Lamb that took our guilt, our counsellor, our guide, our brother and our friend, the bridegroom of his chosen bride, who loves her to the end. Hymn 130, concluding at verse 4.
Lord, instill within us each thy tender fear. And Lord, through thy work, cause us to flee from all evil. To hold fast, Lord, to that which is thy will. Lord, may thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So constrain us, Lord, through the love of Christ. Constrain, Lord, to do that which is right in thy sight. And make us true witnesses of the love of Christ, shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. And Lord, through this love, unite us. Determined to know nothing amongst us save Jesus Christ and him crucified. So, Lord, strengthen thy church upon this earth, and to thy name be all the honour and all the glory. Watch over us as we separate. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us, now and even forever. Amen.